Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now this is Hollywood Unlocked.
What up, everybody? It's Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored. I'm Jason Lee.
Yeah, it was DJ Damas. Let's get it started.
All right, before we get started, make sure that you're listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, and watching us over on YouTube. You can also check out all of our other shows on HollywoodUnlocked.com.
Just like that.
Before we get into it, I want to send a special shout out to our third co-host, our third host of the show, Melissa Ford. You know, she recently opened up on Instagram about the passing of her mother, and I know she's in Canada taking care of everything, and so our condolences are out to her, and I could only imagine what she's going through, and I'm sure she'll be back whenever she's ready to, you know, share that with the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Melissa, we love you. We're sending you love and light and strength. You know, we're praying for you.
Love you, Melissa. All right, so we got a lot going on. There's so much going on in the news.
It's happening right now.
I went to bed last night feeling like just an overload of everything. thank God my doctor has me on magnesium because now I can actually get a good night's rest. If you've never tried magnesium, add it to your...
So I mean, magnesium, like just the capsule?
Add it to your vitamin repertoire. Yes.
So you're just really just taking magnesium capsule?
Well, I mean, I have a plan because I've been focused on, you know, all the time I was focused on losing weight, that I get overwhelmed with that. And so I'm just focused on being healthy, right? So I haven't drank in 3 months. I drink so much water. I've drank so much water. People ask me, what am I putting on my skin? I'm just drinking Essentia. Shout out to Essentia who sent me tons of water. Hey. But I've been drinking tons of water. And my doctor is like, I don't know what that was. That was some ghetto ass old jam jar that you just put some water in. And after you're done drinking water out of it, you're going to put a plant in it. No, but, you know, I've been focused on just getting healthier. So cutting red meat out of my diet, you know, not eating no sugar, no honey, no coffee, just everything is.
You have the sugar relapse? Not the relapse. What is it?
Relapse is a good word. No, I'm not a big sugar person. I'm a non-responsible person. So you can't have pasta at midnight, you know, and then go to sleep. You can't have steak 4 times a week or.
But they say your body go into some kind of shock when you stop like consuming sugar. So you get like a little irritable, sweats, like a, withdrawal. That's the word.
I did have a sugar withdrawal one day. I had the worst headache. I thought I was having an aneurysm. But the sugars, because you don't know how much sugar is in the stuff that you eat.
Sugar's like the biggest drug, for real, for real.
Yeah, so cutting all that out, but just focus on getting healthier. But anyway, with that, I was having a hard time sleeping. And then now I finally started taking my vitamins, my magnesium, getting my vitamin D up. And I'm talking about vitamin D, not the inappropriate.
Hope so.
Well, this audience, they'll be like, whore. but I've been getting my vitamin D and I've been feeling so good. I've been sleeping really good. But then all of a sudden now the news is just has me, my emotions everywhere. Upside down. So yeah. How have you been?
I've been good, man. In the middle of a move. I'm excited because I've been in the same place for 8 years. So it's like, it's time for some new energy, new change, especially during this quarantine. So I'm feeling good to get out of this same box I've been in for the past 2 months, like locked in. You know, I feel like I'm feeling happy to go to my new jail cell.
So are you
here too?
Are you packing your own boxes and all that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Damn it.
I've been here 8 years, Jason. I got to throw things away. I got a clean house. So somebody come here and start packing up everything. And I'm like, bro, that needs to go in the trash.
Yeah. New energy, new place. You want to have you want it to be fresh.
New vibes.
So are you throwing out a lot of clothes?
I've been selling clothes, throwing out clothes, giving clothes to the homeless downtown. So I've been doing a little bit of everything. Some stuff is like, I'm not going to put this on nobody. I don't care if they're homeless. Nobody needs to wear this. And some stuff is like, it's too good to just throw away, but you don't need it.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have learned a lot during this whole pandemic because I too am moving. I'm moving I'm moving where your area now, and you're moving past where I am now. But I've appreciated saving money, not spending $500 at dinner or $100 on a fish, or clothes that I'm only going to be able to wear once because God forbid I be seen twice in it in a photo. That's what
I'm getting rid of the clothes, so I feel you.
Yeah, so this pandemic, I found the silver lining. I don't know if anybody else has, but you know, I went from consumed with it, anxious, mm-hmm. can't handle it, to adapting very well. And I'm watching the people outside, and I put this on my Facebook. There's two types of people right now. There's the people who are outside, mm-hmm. and they don't give a fuck because they think that Rona's gone away because the government opened up a pool party. And then there's us inside watching y'all get that shit and not going outside. Damage, which are you?
I'm inside. Look, I've told you I'm ready to go to my next jail cell. I haven't been out of this crib really at all. And it's weird because when you do get outside, I took outside for granted because I'm like, I'm a guy that stay in the house anyway. So I go outside and just go for a walk around the corner like, wow, like this is really beautiful. So I feel like everybody need to be staying their ass inside. But Memorial Day, people got it popping.
They
got it too popping.
I used to enjoy walking around my neighborhood, but now even the homeless people know me. And this is what I understand. I'm like, where did you get a TV to watch me anywhere? Like, how do you listen to my show? That's why I think some of these people on the streets are scams, but not everybody. But I've been seeing like a lot of people out, like you said, the pool parties in Houston, the pool parties in folks partying in Atlanta, the Ozarks. And it ain't just a black folks thing. It's a everybody thing.
People are just
frustrated with being in the house. Why do you think people are defying science, though?
But the thing is, people are defiant by nature. People don't like being told what to do. That's why it's like when you try to control people, you try to make it like it's their own suggestion. When somebody tells you not to do something, you're going to think about doing it. And for 2 months, people were sitting still like, okay, we're not doing it. A lot of people fed up like, it's summertime. I ain't got no job anyway. I want to go out and have a good time. And unfortunately, it's going to get a lot of people sick.
Until they catch that Rona.
Yep. Or the worst part is they might not get the symptoms, but they give it to somebody else that really might not be able to handle it. And now they're feeling bad about the decisions they made. So,
yeah. Well, I personally think it's one thing to open up the economy so people can go back to work in mm-hmm. a safe environment, you know, really like scale our getting out into the community again, and then going to an all out freak fest at a pool and getting drunk and swimming.
Sharing
with
bottles.
Yeah. And sharing saliva. Like at this point, I don't even want to touch anybody else. Fuck that.
No, so, my boy came over to help me take apart my bed. And the way I was like, bro, you already coming over here. He was still trying to give me these weird arm daps and stay. I'm like, I get it. I respect it. I get it. But come on, man.
All right. So there's a lot going on in the news. We're going to talk about the first one that, you know, is near and dear to my heart because I've been commenting on it a lot. And we've been posting a lot. It's Doja Cat. Have you been paying attention to Doja Kitty?
Yeah, I've been seeing everything going on with Doja Cat. But the question for me when I first seen the news is, where did it all start, right?
Let me go back a couple weeks. And I had saw that she was on live. And this was before she got the number one. First of all, congratulations, Doja Cat, on the number one. Because Say So is a catchy song. You know, I went online and said, Say It Ain't So is a catchy song. I wasn't being shady. I really thought it was Say It Ain't So. People don't realize I don't really listen to a lot of new music like that. So I was like, Say It Ain't So. Oh, my God. They were like, Jason, you're being shady. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, why? You know, but anyway, Say So. You know, congratulations. Getting number one isn't easy. But her and Nicki Minaj, they got a number one record. But mm-hmm. before that went number one, I saw that she went on live. And I went to her page. And I went to her to watch her on live. And she was talking to her fans. But it was I put in the chat room, I said, hey, Doja Cat, make sure you stop by Hollywood Unlocked. And she said, Hollywood Unlocked, hey, Hollywood Unlocked. She goes, who the fuck is Hollywood Unlocked? Is that that nigga? Is that nigga that be talking shit? Is that that motherfucker?
She not talking about Jason, right? Not you.
No, she thought I was somebody else.
Okay.
And so she was going on the YouTube trying to find it. Well, anyway, afterwards, she figured out who it was. And then she went to my page, saw that was on Wild N Out, called over to the folks from Wild N Out, you know, trying to kind of mitigate everything. By that point, I was already on the phone with them saying, you better holler at your girl. But then what happened was then some videos started to leak online of her in a chat room. Allegedly, she was in Tiny Chat. Some folks said she was in a chat room called Red Pill. I haven't been able to find exactly what all the different chats were, but Tiny Chat was one of them. And in that room were alleged white supremacists and people from an alt-right group, mostly predominantly white men, And she was entertaining for them, stripping for them, referring to them as niggers. She was, speaking very inappropriately. Now, as a female, as a woman, she could say whatever she wants about her body. It's her body. She wants to show her breasts. She promised to show her breasts if she got number one. She still ain't did that. But she was basically stripping in front of these white men. And so there was a lot of commentary on this video in the comments. You know how you can watch a chat and then comment below? The comments were basically saying that she was making disparaging comments about being a black woman and about being black, referring to, referring to some of the stereotypes of being a black woman or whatever that was. And people were not here for it. They drug her. And as they dragged her for filth, they started this hashtag Doja Cat is over party. So, yeah, that's a lot. What do you think about everything?
First of all, disgusting. It's really a bad look. Like, I always knew Doja Cat was a little different. She always had a different style, even before she became mainstream with this new song she got. But I didn't know she was like this left. You know what I'm saying? To be on a chat room full of racist people and then doing self-hating things. It's really wild. What really got me, though, was her response to it, because I was like, okay, I always deal with a situation on how they respond to it. Let's first talk about the hair. And I guess when it came to the response, she was like, everybody with 4C hair, complains and hates about their hair. And I'm just like, well, that's not true. You can't say everybody says something like that. And then look at the environment you're saying it in. You're not saying it to your homegirl. Somebody caught a video, of you doing it. It was a personal moment. You went on a platform full of racist people talking about things that reflect our culture. That's part of your culture, is your hair. And you might not like your hair, but to go on that platform where it's clearly black hating people there, and then you saying other disparaging things. I'm trying to remember some other quotes that she said, but I remember what stood out to me was her first talking about the 4C hair. Then she made another song. It was like a song that had some like racial slurs in it.
So what she got drugged for, the 4C hair wasn't said in the chat room. That was another video. And that's the thing. There's so many other videos popping up. So what she said specifically in the chat room was that she called one of the white men nigger as she was not nigger. She called a nigger as she was rolling around, basically in a tawdry way, taunting them sexually, tantalizing them. And they were, they were enjoying it. And then it was outside of the chat room that she said the disparaging comments about having 4C hair, which some women may not like to have having 4C hair, but we all know the sensitivity around black women and their hair. And that was not only insensitive, but it was, for me, it was a display of a black girl raised by a white mother that was not exposed to the culture. I know her mom's an art teacher. I know that, not that that's a bad thing, but I'm not sure that she was, I don't believe she was exposed to the environments that we were growing up. It was outside of that room that, besides the 4C hair, that she also, made us a joke about Beyonce, that people are saying that she was basically calling Beyonce a monkey. Wow. And then if that wasn't bad enough, she took to Instagram to issue an apology. It's too long to play here, but in essence, what she said was, fuck you.
That's what I got from it. That's where I was trying to get to. A lot of the clips, man, so much stuff was coming out, but I do remember this response. And I'm like, I always judge things about people by their response. And it was very just egotistical. It didn't feel like really sincere. It felt like somebody made her do it. And that's when I was like, okay, you had an opportunity. If you did do this and you didn't mean it to come the way we're, looking at it, this is your opportunity to help us somewhat understand where the hell you was going with this. And it just seemed like she was forced to do it. She didn't really care. She didn't care how we felt about it. And that's when I was like, yeah, I can't.
Well, I mean, she started with a, like every celebrity, when you go through a crisis or a brand, their publicist put out a statement. And this is what I thought was pretty awkward, because I'm like, okay, Doja Cat, if you can be reckless enough to say all these things and behave this way and denounce your culture and disrespect your culture the way that you did, you should be woman enough to come and face people. And what they did was they put out a prepared statement, and it was dry, and nobody was here for it, and people were dragging her for it. And so she probably decided, like, hey, they need to hear from me. My fans need to hear me directly. Mm-hmm. And so what she chose to do was bullet point an apology. Scratch it. What she did was bullet point an explanation of every stupid ass thing she said.
So that's what she's trying to do, rundown.
And in doing that, and in going through the bullet points, what she did was she made herself look even more foolish, because it was very condescending. It was very entitled. She was very, didn't really take responsibility. She blasted people who criticized her relationship. And then she said something that was very interesting. She said this.
We're on quarantine. We have so much time to sit in bed. If you're not an essential worker, if you're an essential worker, thank you. Thank you so much. If you're not an essential worker, good luck, motherfucker. And you're trying to make me look like shit on the internet? Good luck, motherfucker. You have nothing else to do. I understand. You have fun. You do that shit.
Which to me was a shot at anybody who has an opinion about her piss poor behavior. And I kind of feel like this is the entitlement that I think a lot of artists get into when they reach a certain level of success or they feed into the hype of what social media is telling them. But I want to take it back to when she was under fire for using the word faggot. Mm. She had used the word faggot before and she had come under fire for that. And one of her tweets was, or one of her explanations was, I've said faggot 15,000 times. Now let's go back to Kevin Hart, who lost his job at the Oscars. He didn't even say faggot. He didn't even say homo. He didn't even say no homo. He mm-hmm. just said what he said about his son and how he would handle his son supporting or doing anything that looked homophobic or homosexual. Yeah. And so she used the word faggot, and I'm sitting here saying, like, I get that maybe you're a troll, but when you with great success comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
And people think that I'm mad at her because she did a song with Nicki Minaj. I want to be very clear. Do not bring Nicki Minaj into this one. Now, I have no problem coming for Nicki or anybody else or Lil Boosie or whoever. But we're not going to even drag Nicki into this because Nicki had nothing to do with this. Doja Cat, in my opinion, to me, I don't even like cancel culture, but she canceled for sure. To me, she hasn't even given us the amount of work that would make me second guess whether or not she was worthy to still be in conversation.
But this is what happened when you have rising stars, because Doja Cat been doing her thing for a while, who don't realize that at one point you might become the next big thing and all this little weird quirky stuff that you do for fun or that gets you off, this can come right to the light. Like, this couldn't be these videos. It was so many videos. It was so much content to prove, like, this is how she feel about things. And you get an opportunity to somewhat explain it because you do have fans. And I feel like she dropped the ball.
Yeah, but it isn't even about, let me also say this. Okay. She used faggots before and we forgave her for that. Mm-hmm. You can make mistakes. I didn't. The internet did. The culture that finds those things acceptable did. But when she was on Wildin' Out, she was on the Red Squad with me. I didn't even interact with her. I didn't even say two words to her the whole show because I was very conflicted. Because personally, I felt here I am, you know, trying to use this platform on MTV to show young LGBT kids that they could grow up and be whatever they want to be, and then I'm on a team with a girl who uses the word faggot frequently. It's not even about what she's done in her past, because we all have a past, right? It's how she takes responsibility and the lack thereof to me that just solidifies her being a complete and total loser. Now, Ebro has spoken out, which I thought was pretty interesting, because a lot of people attribute the culture to a few of us that are, you know, have big voices in the culture. Absolutely. Right? Charlemagne's, Ebro's, me, Joe, you know, Amanda, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was surprised Ebro said something to the effect of, we need to support and embrace her and teach her the right way. And like, I don't know where he's coming from, but what'd you think about that?
I think Ebro would have been right on point if we had a more sincere apology and explanation. If she said, oh, growing up, it was tough for me being a mixed girl and I hated myself. If she would have gave me anything to understand the psychology of some of the shit she was doing, maybe I would understand Ebro's response. But the apology I got from Doja Cat didn't warrant that response from Ebro for me. I don't know where he's coming from with that one.
No, and there was a song too where she was under fire for her song Didn't Do Nothing, which people said it was a racial slur that was often used against Black people who face public police brutality. And she took to Instagram to explain that. And in there, she said it had nothing to do with Sandra Bland. And in fact, she said, if you guys don't like the song, I can rewrite it if you want me to.
That was just so sarcastic. And it was just the most asshole response. I seen that. She's like, y'all want me to change the words? I'll change the words. I'm like, you're missing the entire point. And this is why they're going to throw a cancel party for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, do we blame her? Or do we blame her father for not being in her life? Because, you know, her father abandoned her. I'm sure he don't want anything to do with her now. But do you blame him?
I mean, at the end of the day, when we grow up and become grown-ups, we got to take responsibility for the shit we do. You know,
you're pretty much saying she's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's one way to feel like something, but then you go on a platform and you're making sure everybody here. You can feel that way on the inside. If you're dealing with something, battling something, that's cool. You going on this weird chat room and you know you're a public figure, somebody's going to see this. And you're doing it for somebody to see. It's not like you hit, like we found this in a secret email. You wanted people to see this.
And let me be clear, in today's climate, you doing it in front of white people made it unforgivable.
Exactly.
Period. Period. And, you know, I will say this, you know, I have often gotten criticized for, you know, not respecting or loving the black woman, which is the craziest thing because I love being black and I love black people and I love black women. Right. But this to me is indefensible because it's not even like you came on and said, you know, I said a lot of insensitive shit because I haven't been exposed to a lot. And I love that you guys held me accountable, and I look forward to learning more as I continue on my journey. I'm not doing this to be a role model, but I understand I have a responsibility. Like, you should have came to Hollywood Unlocked to help you out, girl.
Something.
But, yeah. So is she canceled to you?
I'm not fucking with her. Like I said, I was waiting for the apology. I was like, let me see what she's saying. And then after that, I changed the words if you want me to. I'm like, okay, Doja Cat. Like, so you're talented too, but...
After the apology, they started calling her Doja Cap.
And it's sad because it's right after her first number one. It's a big deal right now, and that's the receipts they pull. They see you doing that. But she's not the only one about to get canceled or being threatened of being canceled. Sean King, too, is in the news. They're saying he's stealing fundraising money. So activist Sean King was trending on Twitter on Tuesday. And shockingly, for not the good reasons, because you know Sean King always stands up for a good cause. Many users are trying to cancel him for not fulfilling his promises. The hashtag came after the Daily Beast dropped an article titled "Sean King Keeps Raising Money and Questions Where It Goes." So this is a big deal right now. He raised money for he was rebooting a newspaper that was started by Frederick Douglass called the North Star, and he had the blessings of Frederick Douglass. I'm stumbling. Descendants, all that. It was backed by Michael Eric Dyson, a lot of big people in the game. So this is where it gets interesting. He had 30,000 subscribers. A lot were contributing $5 and $10 a month. He had a billionaire philanthropist, Robert Smith. He gave him $10,000 a month. But everybody's wondering, where did this money go, Jason?
Well, look, I want to start by saying that we posted the story on Hollywood Unlocked, and we came under fire from a lot of people who felt like we shouldn't be fanning the flames of a story that was attributed to somebody who people perceived as doing a lot of things for the culture, right? Mm-hmm. You know, before entertainment, I've been very open about my past as a union organizer, as a union leader, as somebody who advocated for workers in healthcare, somebody who's been involved with legislation and social topics like the Trayvon Martin killing. And so I'm very sensitive to the work that organizers and organizations and philanthropic organizations do for the community, especially when you are relying on the funding from the public and their donations. Think about this, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of people who have regular jobs, waiter, works at Starbucks, somebody works at McDonald's, somebody works at IBM, anybody, anywhere where they have a regular job, not in entertainment, far removed from a lot of the benefits that we get working in entertainment. It's not glorious to them. Maybe they don't even like the job, but they believe so much in change that they donate $5 of their hardworking salaries. And think about it, $5 post-tax on a minimum wage job is basically almost probably half of what they're making. Mm. So I just want to put in context, a half of an hour of somebody's life that they're putting in monthly just because they believe in you. Now, that being said, working for a union, we used to come under fire for what do you do with our dues? You're still in our dues. And we had 170,000 members paying probably $50 a month. So you could just imagine the amount of money that the union had. There was a time where they never accused me personally of stealing money, but they would always say the union's taking our money. The union's taking our money. And then I remember when we got into a fight with our parent union, because our parent union, SEIU, the international, didn't like that we were using our member dues that they voted to use to go after them to fight for holding on to their rights and their contracts.
Wow.
They allege that we took their dues, we used their dues inappropriately to fight their own union, even though the members ratified to do it. I say all that to put in context that people are going to always use stealing dues as a way of discrediting a person, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know Sean King. I will say, though, I like his Instagram. I like that he posts every 10 minutes another Black person dying or getting beat by the police or facilitating conversation online so people mm-hmm. can see what's happening. It's a good source to go to. Lots of celebrities follow him, so he gets a lot of reposts. And I'm not discrediting what he does on Instagram because we feature a lot of his stuff. He does a great job of informing people. But when you raise that kind of money and you have 20 staff, we all have a right to know what you're doing with that money.
Yeah.
You know, what's happening in the world? Are you creating? I know that they said something about helping family with GoFundMe accounts to raise money to fight for different causes or attorneys for specific cases. But that's a GoFundMe account. What happens with all the donations? Do you have political action committees that are putting forth legislation or helping to run campaigns for local people and communities that are involved in stuff that we're seeing in the news to become change agents in the legal system? Are you putting forth bills and public policy? Are you sponsoring and putting dollars behind things that help to change what we see online every day? That's real activism. What turned me off about Sean King personally, and I don't know him and I hope to get to know him because mm-hmm. I think he's doing a great job of informing people, was when Ahmaud Arbery died, I saw that he promoted a link for people to sign a petition to have those people arrested.
Yeah.
I signed the petition. The minute I signed the petition, it asked me to donate to Sean's company. Now, I think for me as an organizer, that was probably not the best way to do it. I think what he should have done was he should have allowed the person to say, do you want to stay involved in this case? The person clicks yes. You then get their profile and then you retarget them with an ask and an invitation to your organization, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you can, because they've told you they want to be involved. So now you're targeting them to say, hey, here's how you can get involved. Sign up for our newsletter. Donate $5.
It's not an unwanted solicit.
It's not an unwanted solicit right after you got me engaged about something that's important. Now, as an organizer, I would never go into a department at a hospital with a worker who's fired up about something and say, by the way, will you support our committee on political education fund? That was what we used to raise money for on the side for our political action, which is similar to what Sean is doing. We would never do that because the person is passionate about what they're telling you right now. Now, once you fix that issue with them, then you can say, hey, stay involved with the union, sign up, get involved. Hey, do you mind contributing to our PAC committee because we're fighting for legislation to help you at the bedside with your patients, because we believe that what you're encountering every day with a lack of PPE or standards, you know, not being followed in the hospital, we believe that's important to you and is an essential part of our union. We want to make sure we have the right resources to advocate for you. It's all in messaging. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Sean. I sent him an email. I didn't hear back from him when I was addressing the issue of prison reform. But I did speak to Tamika Mallory. I did speak to DeRay from Black Lives Matter. But I just decided to go and go to reform with Van Jones and then hit up Congresswoman Bass and a few other Congress people to really help me put laser focus on my issue. But I say all that to say, I think it's unfair for people to automatically criticize what somebody does with their resources. But at the same time, I do believe that Sean needs to chill, because when you are taking public dues or when you are taking public money, people have the right to criticize you. They have the right to scrutinize you. They have the right to ask you, where is my money going? And you have the obligation to show them, not say it's buried in a report. Go look at my reports. No, we want to see change. And I can tell you, Damage, I don't know about you. You have a young Black son. I'm sick and tired of seeing a bunch of Instagram posts. I want to know, what are we doing? And I don't have, you know, 30,000 people giving me $5 a month, that's $150,000. I don't have that. If I had $150,000 a month coming in for the issues that he's fighting, I would be organized. I would have an organizer in every city. I would be building capacity to be able to create real change. And I just feel now, you know, where people are getting frustrated is, you know, on one hand, you don't want to publicly say nothing to criticize, because then It's like you're opening the window for people who want to attack all of our social movements to come in. But at the same time, you have to hold our people accountable. And I
got to nip it in the bud now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you got to speak on that because you have worked with the union and you know more of the back end. I feel like a lot of these situations, people go, where's the money? Where's the money? And have no idea how the infrastructure actually works. So you're criticizing somebody, but the funds are being used to pay staff. It's used for different things that actually cost more money than people may believe. But what was alarming about this report is there's multiple people that worked with Sean for the newspaper. I believe it's called the North Star. I want to make sure I get that right. Saying he was incompetent, saying it was mismanaged, and also saying he couldn't tell us where the funds were. And these are people that work in the industry, in, you know, with him, that's working in the infrastructure. So it's not me as a regular person giving $5, you know, not really knowing the game. The people that are criticizing him are also people that worked alongside with him. So that's when my eyes start opening up like, wow, well, where are the funds going?
Well, I'll be honest with everybody. I am not as super proactive in public policy or public stuff like that, mm-hmm. because I don't want to make people forget that I'm Hollywood Unlocked, right? So yeah. I am the face of Hollywood Unlocked, but I don't want to be out here, you know, total Black Panther where it's like, yo, what is he doing over there? What about, you know, what about this? So it's a balance. And so what I will say though, is that I have been personally reaching out to every activist that is a activist on social media to get a better understanding of what it is that they do so I can have a better informed opinion about them, because I do believe that right now what's happening, and we're going to get into that next, what's happening in Minnesota, I am so proud of the people of Minnesota who have stepped up and are giving it to the police department there, yeah. because, you know, you can only email so much and petition so much and walk so many miles and talk on social media. At some point, somebody has to get fucked up. Somewhere at some point, a city has to burn down, or yeah. unfortunately, somebody on the other side has to die to really understand, like, it's really real out here and you fucking with the masses. There are more people than there are police.
Exactly. All right, y'all, it's time for another Hollywood hookup, and I'm super excited because this segment is sponsored by Embrace Pangea. Embrace Pangea is a holistic company offering premium herb-infused natural hygiene products and herbal detoxes. They have a wide variety of products to fit your daily health and hygiene needs, such as the 5-star rated Pangea Wash, an all-natural pH-balanced foaming feminine wash with rose and honeysuckle extracts.
So, ladies, this is for you, not for us.
I don't think we need that, but yeah. It's good for y'all. And their Essential 18 Detox Tea that's packed with 18 powerful non-laxative herbs to remove stuck-on waste from your colon walls. If you're looking for a natural way to promote healthy gums, better breath, and an overall healthy oral hygiene routine, then check out their Herbarinse Advanced Botanical Mouthwash.
I'm still stuck on cleaning out your walls, but the tea is good for that.
Oh, man. At no other time right now is the most important time to get healthy. Let's do it right now. So head over to EmbracePangea.com and use the discount code UNLOCK to receive 10% off your first Embrace Pangea order. Use the discount code UNLOCK to get 10% off your first order.
And that is your Hollywood hookup. I am more of I have a more militant style of leadership when it comes to organizing in communities. And I too... I'm frustrated like some people about some of the social media activists and not really understanding what they're doing. Shout out to DeRay and Black Lives Matter. They were one of the few organizations that I saw early on really step up in the heart of the Trayvon Martin campaign. Dream Defenders really getting down and dirty with the people. You know, are any of these people, Sean Kings, are they creating legal defense funds for these people that are going to probably go to jail for protesting? I don't know. Those are the questions that we should all be demanding of people, especially if you're writing a check.
You got to hold those people accountable. You're giving your money. You have the right to know where the money goes, just like you said. I think you spoke on it so well because you have worked in the back end of something. I wouldn't say similar because this is a newspaper subscription, but you still know how the infrastructure works. So getting your idea and how you perceive it was really interesting. No, but it's a lot going on right now, especially in Minnesota. It's really heartbreaking. And it is good to see that some people are stepping up and, you know, I hate to say it, giving it to the police, like you said. Like, You know, they say don't fight fire with fire, but we tried that so many times for so many years. You know, we're stepping up and we got to show y'all what a black life is worth. I feel like that's what it feels like when I see those protests in the street. We're showing people this is what a black life is worth. If you don't want chaos, if you don't want us to fight back and do what you guys are doing, because y'all started this fight. We didn't start this fight.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. This is counterproductive. We tried everything.
I want people to think about, you know, we live in a very different world now than some of our grandparents and great-grandparents in the early 40s, 50s, or, you know, even the 60s, right, who went through the civil rights movement. We are privileged to live in a different world, even though it's still not perfect, right?
Yeah.
But I have to tell people, like, and just bear with me when I say this. One thing I would always tell people when I was in the union is that when you agitate people, right, you inform, you agitate, and then you move to action. Those are the three things in getting people to create change, whether it's at the workplace or whether it's in your neighborhood or whether it's in your state or country, right? So when you post it on your Instagram, now we're informed. We see the black man. We're going to get into this, right? We see that the man is dying. We see that he died. We see that the police are not arrested. We see it. It's all over social media. Now you've informed us. Now, because he died and they haven't been arrested, just because he died, now we're agitated. Now, where's the action? That's the missing part.
That's where we are so divided on. What is our action?
You know why? Because we're pussies. And I'm going to tell you why. We're pussies. We have social media now that makes us feel like we're a part of the change because we post it.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything.
And I'll tell you, the frustrating part is, you know, I was really teary-eyed last night watching what was happening online. And, you know, I did reach out to friends of mine with major platforms to say, can you please share this? Because the world needs to keep being more agitated. If we make them mad enough, things will just explode. It's sort of like if you put in Jiffy popcorn, if you leave it in long enough, it's going to pop, 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 pop. And then it's just going to open up. It's going to explode because it could only take so much pressure, so much heat, right? I said, okay, with all these social media people who are activists online, agitating people, getting paid to go and give speeches, you know, building brands and making lots of fucking money, being the best speaker in the room on a topic or going on all these shows, what are you actually doing? And so now we've informed, now we've agitated, everybody's agitated. What the fuck do we do?
And if you
think about our grandparents' damage, back in the, you know, early 1900s or even the 60s or whatever, our parents in the 60s, you know, there were people going to jail, staging sit-ins, dying in the streets, killing in the streets, the Black Panther Party. There were more rebels. You know, we're not even Martin Luther King right now. We're not even peacefully, prayerfully protesting. We are posting on social media. So I just hope people get that part, because that's the part that's missing for me. Like, what is the action?
Well, I feel like that's the whole purpose of social media, is to distract. Like, I feel like back in those times, people were dealing with an issue and they felt it every day. They didn't have a way to go into their phone and watch their favorite show or pretend to be supporting it. They had to live that thing every day. And I feel like we need to start living it. And that's why, you know, I don't like seeing people protest that are hurting each other or whatever, but I see people taking action. Is it the right action? That's up to whoever's perspective. But
are you talking about what's happening in Minnesota?
Yeah, what's happening in Minnesota?
Let's break down what happened in Minnesota, because we're so passionate, we can't even break the news down. We apologize. This is, as many of you are dealing with it, we are passionate about it too.
Yeah, so in Minnesota, Minneapolis, a man dies after a white cop cuts off his airway by kneeling on his neck. There was a clip taken by a bystander in South Minneapolis on Monday. Apparently, the cops were responding to a forgery in progress. When they arrived at the scene, they saw an unidentified man sitting in a car. Now, according to the department, the man resisted arrest and was placed in the handcuffs, adding he appeared to be suffering from medical distress. The department also noted at no time were there weapons of any type used by anyone involved in this incident. But it was a viral clip that came out where you can see the man begging, "Please, please, I cannot breathe," repeatedly to the cops. The arresting officer continues to kneel on this man's neck for several minutes while he's screaming in pain. The officers on the scene also ignored a man that was passing by basically saying like, yo, this is bullshit. You can see he can't breathe. Get him off the ground. And several other witnesses seen this. They were heard arguing, the two arresting officers over the excessive force over the man that was that passed away. Suddenly, of course, he became motionless, and that's how the story unfolded. But the cops were responding to a forgery in progress and end up killing a man by kneeling on his neck.
Now, let's say, I'm going to tell you why he died. He died because he was black. That's plain and simple. Now, what also I want to note was, one, there's a 10-minute video that's been released from another angle that Ben Crump, attorney Benjamin Crump, who's an attorney for the family, has posted online. There was no resisting arrest whatsoever, so that debunked their claims. Mm-hmm. I know people were mad that we wrote the story of what they said, but you have to understand when you're storytelling, you do have to lay out everything that's happening so people can get all the parts of it and make their own conclusion. We don't write a story all the time and say, this is what happens, except, you know, even with Doja Cat, you know, we didn't say she was a fucking idiot. I posted that on my personal Instagram on Hollywood Unlocked. We just lay out what is happening. And then once the full picture is there, we let you draw your conclusion. But no, he died because he was black. There was a white woman there who was a firefighter who said, he cannot breathe. I'm a firefighter. Let me check him. Let me help him. And they refused to let her help him. And so now all the four police officers have been fired, but they have yet to be arrested. Of course. What do you think about that?
It's the same story all over again. That's why I love when you say, what's the action? We need to figure out an action. Back in the, I hate to say back in the days, but there was a point in a moment where people stood up and not pretended to be leaders, actually wanted to lead. As you say, we have a lot of people that's getting paid to speak and speaking passionately on topics, of course, to create reaction and agitation. But we need leaders. We need people that's going to go out there and really be about it. As you said, people used to get locked up, did sit-ins, because what was going on in their community matters. And I feel like all of us, and I don't even want to point fingers at nobody, because I look at myself like, what can I do that's action? We need to all look at ourselves like, okay, we know about the situation. What action are we going to take? And I'm not going to point fingers at this person that's posting or this and this and that. I look at myself and I get angry with myself. Like, am I too passive? Am I doing enough? What am I doing to actually create this change? But the value of a black life has to be risen. And the only way they're going to understand is you kill one of ours. I'm not going to say we should go out and kill another police officer, of course. That's absolutely crazy. But they need to feel the chaos that they bring to our community.
You created this shit. You created it. White people, white police, you created this shit. I got pulled over the other day, and I ain't gonna lie. Me and my friend are sitting there, and we're like, don't move. Don't put your hands anywhere. Even when he went to go get the registration, I said, don't open that. Until he says we can open it, I don't even want no problems, because you could get killed for forgery. And, you know, Enrique Santos, I Heart Family down in Miami, interviewed the chief of police there and asked him, what do you think about the use of force? And he said that that wasn't even a tactic that they support in any police academy in the country, because it's not necessary unless it's like you're trying, he's trying to kill you, and then you have to do whatever you could do.
And the crazy part is, outside of this clip, I've seen that move used multiple times.
Yeah.
That wasn't something I haven't seen before. And I always think that, like, how are you just sitting your knee on somebody's neck? So now, I don't know if they're saying it's not used in the police force, but clearly if I'm looking at different police brutality videos across the country and people are doing similar neck on, you know, somebody's teaching this somewhere.
Now I want to say this to everybody that watches, because we have people who support this show who are not black, who are white or non-black. Right. And let me just say this. You're a part of the solution. You need to be a part of the solution. You one thing that's made me prideful of what's happening in Minnesota is I've seen so many non-black people out in the streets with the black people. I've seen, and what I also like is that all of the anger and frustration and abuse, for the lack of better words, has been all towards the police department cars, police department, police, and not the property of small business owners.
Oh, okay.
I don't see them destroying small businesses and looting and this and that. And so I really love what's happening in Minnesota. I love that they're being aggressive. I love that they're being destructive. I love it. But I would say that, you know, I come from being raised by a white mother, and I get criticized a lot for not being pro-black. And, you know, people have to understand something. And hopefully Doja Cat's listening, Doja Kitty, because she ain't got nothing else to do because she canceled. Right. when you have a percent of black in you, enough of it to where you know that it's in your veins, you have an obligation to be empathetic to the history of black people. Now, mind you, I would say everybody should be empathetic because our country went through a civil war. But I would say for sure, if you have black in your veins, you should not only be prideful, but you should feel obligated to figure out how to be involved. Now, I, like you, Damage, feel like, you know, have I done enough?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just now, you know, speaking to the council meetings and the congresswomen and the senators. I'm just now. But, you know, am I, as a citizen, did I fill out my census form? Did I register to vote? Did I vote for the right people? Like, those are questions that I'm asking myself, you know, and I hope that if there's anybody listening, I hope you look at the man, George Floyd, who died in Minnesota, and see your son in him, or see you in him, because George Floyd had posted another video before where he was denouncing gun violence, where he was denouncing young people, this younger generation that's so violent these days. He was actually speaking about having a more safer world, and to be killed by this police officer who is still not locked up is outrageous to me.
What's also outrageous is, like, I don't follow the notion of fuck the police. It sounds cool. I know rappers say it, people say it, but at the end of the day, police officers are our cousins. They're our neighbors. There are regular people that are police officers. So the whole F the police thing is, it's cool, I guess, for certain people. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of those same people that call the cops when they need help. What makes me upset is, because I do believe there are decent and upstanding officers that really want to protect and do their job, I'm mad at the silence of those people. I'm mad at the other guy on the scene that doesn't have his foot on the his neck and not saying anything. I'm sick of other officers not stepping in. I'm sick of this code of silence that they have. They always preach the snap stitching thing is whack and you shouldn't do that in the hood, but y'all do it the worst, the officers. And I know there's good officers out there, but y'all not doing shit. So now you're going to get lumped in with them. And when these protests and stuff happens, no one's trying to sit here and pick you apart who is who. You know what I'm saying? You have an obligation to protect the community. If somebody you work with is doing something that's clearly out of line, you officers are not stepping up to make that change. And that's why everybody's saying, fuck all of y'all. And I know some people that probably watch our show that are cops. You know what I'm saying? But it's at a point where y'all need to step up too. We need to step up as a community where all you cops that aren't like this person that, oh, all cops ain't bad, all that bullshit. Where's the accountability amongst the badge?
And there was a saying, and I don't know who said this, but there was a famous quote that said, to stand by and do nothing is to side with the oppressor.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, there are four police who were fired today because one person put his knee on the person's neck. So for that, I would say, I'm glad that the police department took swift action. I'm glad that the mayor, shout out to the mayor of Minneapolis, who got out there and, you know, agreed that, you know, to be a black man in this country, it shouldn't be a death sentence. He showed some emotion. I don't know what was real, what wasn't, but hey, I give him props for getting out there and doing it. And shout out to all of the social media activists who are informing us and agitating us. I only leave you with the question is, what the fuck are we going to do? And there was another quote in the past that I don't know if it was Martin or Malcolm, because it's been so long and I wasn't around then, is if there's something happening to one, it happens to all. Like, I used to always say to the people in the union, like, there's power in numbers. Your one issue is nothing to a group of powerful people. But if it's a group of 10,000, if it's an issue of 10,000, it's an issue for everybody. And so, you know, I thought Karen, when she, Congresswoman Bass, when she was on our show, and she said, hey, to get things moved in Congress, just how much pressure can you put on them? How much public pressure can you put on them? Mm-hmm. You know, what's happening right now to address the systemic problem of poor policing in this country? Now, I get it. Like, police got hard jobs to do, right? Like, I wouldn't be a police officer because I get it. Like, you're running into the unknown every single day, every call of every shift.
Mm-hmm.
But you took the oath to protect people. And Absolutely. So is it protect all people but except for black people? That's what it seems like to me.
That's what it feels like.
So this is not a show where we got a bunch of fuckery. Sorry that it's so heavy, but you know, there's just things that we have to talk about. Karen, what about Karen? Might as well just talk about Karen too.
Oh, Karen. So Amy Cooper, also known as Central Park Karen, is apologizing because she called the police on a black man this past Monday after the two argued about her unleashed dog, which is completely unsafe. It was previously reported Amy was walking her dog while Christian Cooper, he's a bird watcher at the...
Not the type of bird watcher we would typically talk about on this show.
No, he's just a regular bird watcher. Like, he loves birds. It was a wooded area in Central Park called the Ramble. The two who are not related went back and forth, because they both have the same last name, over the dog since they were supposed to be leased at all times in Ramble, according to the park's website. Christian Cooper even recorded a part of their encounter and posted it on Facebook, where it's since been shared 1,000 times. Now, Amy Cooper can be heard in the video screaming on the phone with the police that she is there with an African-American man and he's threatening her life. She immediately faced backlash online and is now being placed on administrative leave by her employer, which is an investment company, Franklin Templeton.
Well, she's been fired. She's been fired. So there's been let go.
But she made an apology. But before we get to the apology, do you want to talk about this whole thing and how it went down first?
Absolutely. First of all, Karen almost killed her dog making this phone call. Could we talk about how she was choking this cocker spaniel? Yeah, so she was choking her dog. I think that to some degree, white people are just scared of black people.
You can see it on the way she was choking her dog. She was really like scared for her life.
But Sunny from The View summed it up great today. She said basically she had worked herself into a self-induced panic.
Panic attack.
Like she created her own chaos, right? And then to call and repeatedly say, this African-American man, like, you felt safe enough to walk right up on him. Mm-hmm. Then because he didn't retreat, you then backed off, almost killed your dog to make a complaint that he was attacking you when he wasn't.
But I want to point out something, though. You see, all that started when she realized she was being recorded. Then it's, oh, he's threatening me. So I felt like she was trying to create some kind of ploy to justify what the hell she was doing on that video while he was recording. And that's another scary thing, how people start becoming performers when these phones come out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think that I'm glad that the phones are here, because
we
would not be mad about Greg. I mean, we would not be mad about George, and we would not be mad about Karen if we did not have a phone. If we didn't have social media.
I definitely think the phone was effective. It just showed you how much more it irritated her. When she was about to come up and say some smart shit, he pulls the phone out, realizing she's already in the wrong, and now she's trying to create her alibi as she goes. It was sick.
So she's also had to give her dog away. So the dog has been taken back to the rescue. She's dogless. She's jobless. Do you think that there should be more that happens to her, or is the public shaming enough for now?
This is enough, because I don't know when she's going to get another job with that kind of... with that carrying on, especially an investment company that she worked for before. They don't want all this high profile shit to be going on. They're trying to just do their thing and keep it moving. But she did issue an apology. She said, "I'm not a racist. I did not mean to harm that man in any way. Oh no." She also added that she also didn't mean any harm to the black community. "I think I was just scared."
I think she should have just said, "I got black friends." Like, if she would have just said, "I got black friends," I'd be like, okay, we know what this is.
She said, when you're alone in Ramble, which is at Central Park, you don't know what's happening.
In broad daylight, you dumb bitch.
It's your dog.
That you almost killed. Your dog was like, bitch, what are you doing? That dog was hanging.
Choking.
Hanging.
Take this L, Central Park, Karen.
Yeah, so
it's funny they named her Karen. Her name is Amy Cooper, though.
Well, no, Karen is the new thing. This is the other thing I'm wondering. Is it right that we're calling white women who are calling on black men or black women Karens? Is it wrong?
I think it's funny. I like it.
Okay, but when they flip it and call us Shaquisha, then what's going to happen?
They do it, and then they kill Shaquisha.
That part. Not even a joke. It's just, I'm trying
That's
to-
not even a joke. That's
I'm
really
trying to, I'm trying to find some light in this very dark- dark tunnel. Well, okay, look, enough of that. Karen is canceled. The police officers are canceled. Doja Cat is canceled.
What about Joe Biden?
Joe Biden is not canceled. Sorry. Just asking. Go ahead. Just go get into that. Let's just get
on. Just asking because, you know, he issued an apology after the interview he did with The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne Tha God to be exact, where he went and said, if you ain't vote for me, basically, you ain't black.
Well, first, let me give a shout out to Charlamagne. He's been killing it. That's a huge interview for him. That was great. And he did exactly what people like me, him, Joe, anybody who's going to interview somebody and press them. He pressed him on issues that were important to the black community. But I have to say, I think that at this point, I think that black celebrities are doing a little too much, you know, and I get it. I get it. You guys are not involved that much in the political process. So now, because it's that time of year, mm-hmm. everybody wants to have a big opinion and, you know, create a soundbite. Now, I'm not talking about Charlamagne in particular. I'm talking about the Diddy's and the people saying we're going to hold the vote. Being involved with the political process is not one time a year or every 4 years, right? It is every day of your life. Mm. You know, think about it in these terms. Does the person get tested when they're going to get renewed for the job, or do they get tested or get a job, or do they get tested while they're on the job or while they're in the job? Not just when they get it, but when they get it, what they're doing while they have it, and when they come back to keep going, right? Yep. I feel like there's all this hysteria around the black vote only when it's time for election. When what are we doing to make sure black people are even registered?
Yeah.
What did he say that was so bad? I think he said it wrong.
If you got to sit here and decide rather to pick for me and Trump, you ain't black.
Now, he said it the wrong way because he said you ain't black. So he didn't even try to soften it up with like terminology.
Like, you know, like I've been in a cookout. I've been talking to y'all. You ain't black.
But he did. But my question is he wrong? Like, I understand, like, black people.
Wrong.
Well, I know black people wanted to vote for Trump because they thought we'd get a different tax bracket and all of a sudden start saving more money on taxes. None of us believed that Trump was going to go ahead and get rid of liquor stores in the communities or put a ban on building more Walmarts to shut down black businesses or stop gentrification or stop police brutality. Maybe with Silk and Simone or whatever that girl's in, Diamond and Silk, maybe them. But when it comes to like black people, none of us in the hoods, I ain't in the hood no more, but I'm just saying if I was in the hood, none of my family, none of the people that we know that are still in urban communities believe that Trump is for them. So did Biden say he said it wrong, but was he lying?
Biden ain't the man to say what's black and what's not black. You ain't black. Voting for you don't make you black. You know what I'm saying? Like you saying, oh, if you got to sit here and decide, you ain't black. How the fuck you know what black is?
Okay, well, let me ask you this, though. Why didn't we have all this anger about Biden when he was our vice president for 8 years? Where the fuck is all this coming from?
I don't know. Look, I have no idea. I just know Biden, you know, it seemed like he needs to stay more quiet than speaking. He made an apology saying he maybe came off a little too cavalier and too playful. Bro, like you even playing around saying something ain't black. It's like, what do you talk about in your spare time?
Biden, keep talking your shit, bro. And you know what? Go get a shirt that said, I said what the fuck I said. Because you know what?
You should get a shirt and wear it and say, you ain't black. Let's see how that worked out.
He doesn't need to because Trump already has those shirts. He has hashtag you ain't black on his website with a black girl wearing it. Trump is trolling us and playing. And
One thing I just didn't like about the interview is he was saying stuff as like, check my records. Check, you know, I always do stuff for black people. Look at this. Look at that. And it didn't. Once again, it didn't come off sincere. It's like, do you have a sincere approach to what you want to do for the black vote or what you want to do for the black community? So anything, saying something heartfelt. Not, I mean, you could look back at what I did here and NAACP. It was like you were just like throwing accolades at us like we were supposed to give a fuck.
So let me ask you, what is the alternative, right? Well, at this point, what do we do? What do we do? Do we not vote for Biden and vote for Trump, or do we just not vote?
I don't know what to do.
I'm gonna tell you what to do. I'm gonna tell you what we do. We have two choices. It's sort of like watching American Idol. Let me dumb it down for you, motherfuckers who don't know what I'm talking about. Right? You're watching American Idol. There's only two people to vote for because your favorite person didn't get enough votes. You didn't organize enough. You didn't call your mama to vote. You didn't go to your church. You didn't get involved in the process. So now you only have two finalists. You don't get to turn the channel and refuse to watch the rest of the show that you've dedicated your life to. You now have to vote and rally for the most votes for the best person left, because that's what it is. But if you don't vote, you know, the fat boy who can't sing might win. And all of a sudden now our American Idol is this fat boy who can't sing. And it's not the fat boy's fault, bitch. It's yours. So now guess what, bitch? Are we going to let the fat boy win? No. We're going to vote for the guy who is the best out of the two options that we have. That's the only way I can sum it up.
And also shout out to Charlamagne because he's been pressing everybody up until this election point. Everybody came on his platform. He's been pressing them the same way. So it's nothing new with him.
No. They're not putting pressure on Trump, though. Where the fuck is all this anger online right now? Where's Diddy? Diddy only follows Trump. He don't even follow Biden.
Oh, wow.
Didn't
know that.
Well, look, we've been looking at that for a minute with a side eye like, all right, Puff. Now, we love your Ciroc. We done sipped your watermelon Ciroc and your blueberry Ciroc. We done played around in your backyard, Puff. We love you, Puffy. But why are you following Trump, but you're not following Biden? You holding the vote from the Democrats, but you ain't speaking out against Trump yet. Where is all that energy? Keep it the same. Like, we got to keep it balanced here. It's not fair. Like, I can't do four more years of Trump. You motherfuckers elect Trump. Hollywood Unlocked is moving to another country.
Where you going?
I don't know. The fuck out of here. I'm going to leave y'all with Trump and Rona and be somewhere else looking at y'all. I'm going to go to Bali for 4 years. Fuck it. I could run my company over there. And it only cost me pennies on the dollar.
Now I hear that. And speaking of Rona, though, there's a symptomatic hairstylist.
Don't vote for the fat boy. I don't give a fuck what you want to do. Vote for the other motherfucker. Sorry.
For the fat boy. No, but you did bring up the coronavirus, which is, we're all dealing with this stuff still, man. So state health officials have issued a warning to the public after the hairstylist exposed 91 people to the virus at a Great Clips hair salon in Springfield earlier this month. Springfield Green County Health Department Director Clay Gobert made the announcement Friday and expressed his disappointment. He said during the briefing that the hairstylist continued to work despite experiencing COVID-19 symptoms, and 81 of her clients received a haircut between May 12th and May 20th. Seven other employees that work at the hair salon was also exposed too, making it 91 people exposed because this lady didn't want to go home and sit down.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to just call her Karen because at this point, this is Karen too. Karen is an epidemic in this country where people do not understand. You know, I'm seeing white women angrily going to Red Lobster, growling, swinging on the workers because they can't come in, going to Albertsons without a mask. It's a Karen epidemic. We put that on our Adam's laughing over here because we put a clip up on Facebook where we say Karen's an epidemic. Here's the deal, and I love you white people. I love you. I really do. But y'all acting up, and in this privilege that we have, right? Let me be clear. She needs to have her clippers cut off. How the fuck do you give your coronavirus to a customer? My barber came to my house. Yes, I have been getting a haircut. It's cute. Every week I've been getting a haircut. My barber tried to come over the other day and without a mask. You know what I said to
him? He was getting comfortable.
Put your mask on. He said, well, your housekeepers don't have on mask. I said, well, they're not breathing on me while they're cutting my hair. Yeah, no. My housekeepers, they don't talk to me. Just text
they're
me.
They're not breathing.
So I say all that to say, on one hand, it's their responsibility to say, yo, you need to put a mask on, Cindy Lauper. Was it Cindy? What's her name?
I don't know if her name was in this write-up.
Karen. You need to put a mask on, Karen. They didn't do that. I would have pulled, let me tell you what I would have done. I would have pulled out my little thermometer gun and I'd have shot her in the head with that my thermometer gun. As soon as it said 101, I'd have been like, Karen, nah, I'm out. Cut the clips.
See, this is the thing though. For all those seven people working around her, maybe you just come in and get your hair cut. You don't know what's going on. They watching her cough and sniffle and, you know what I'm saying, sweat in the hair salon and nobody's saying nothing. So I blame, again, the people around this person too. Like, how are you letting her work that long to have 90 or 87 clients coughing, sniffling, and having corona and no one saying anything? Like, what's going on?
Privilege.
Who was the person that finally came in there and was like, you got corona?
No, probably no, because the government is tracing everybody getting it. So if everybody getting it is coming from Karen's shop, they're gonna pull up on Karen like, bitch, what's happening? I have to say to people, like, please pay attention to science. I know there's a bunch of conspiracy theorists who are running social media. That's not a symptom. That's just, I had a cough. If you are damaged, don't look at me like that. I ain't got it. if you are required to go back to work, like today, they open the malls. I ain't got no new clothes. I am not going to the mall because guess what? I ain't got nowhere to go right now.
That's what
But I am going to start ordering online because I don't have nothing. Like, I went to go somewhere the other day and I decided not to go because I didn't have shit. I was like, I ain't got nothing to wear. I can't wear this Culture Needs Me sweater no more. I didn't wear that bitch.
People are buying clothes to go back to the mall. That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I personally think they need to shut her down for 14 days.
So 14 days, that's it?
I mean, until she can go and get better. Like, she needs to go quarantine for a minute. The moral of the story today, folks, is that I just want to leave you with this. The world is in a weird place right now. And some of you are on my timeline saying, you know, it's the end of times and, you know, Jesus is coming back. And maybe it is, so I'm not mocking that. I don't know. But as for right now, while we still got some time, spend some time with yourself, really digging deep in your mind and in your bag about how you can get involved in what's happening in this world. Don't look at the coronavirus and say it has nothing to do with you. So you're going to go out and be reckless and do whatever you need to do and then eventually catch it or spread it or both. You know, don't look at a black man getting killed in Minneapolis because you live in Malibu and say it ain't got nothing to do with you because you by the beach. No, it's everything to do with you. Hold your people accountable and figure out a way to plug into what's happening around the country because, you know, what happened in Minnesota made many people have restless nights last night all over the country. Just today I got a call from somebody, you know, with a lot of clout who was just like, you know, how do you feel? And I go, well, how do you feel? And we both looked at each other like we're just like lost at like what the fuck is happening. So it's affecting everybody from socioeconomic classes, races. And I would also say, you know, look at your Asian brothers and sisters and your Latino brothers and sisters too, because everybody who is the minority in this country, although I think white people are becoming the minority, all the minority people, people of color, people who are part of a minority group, women, gay people, we all come from a similar struggle. We all are side-eyed. We all are discriminated against. We all are looked at less than. But I don't feel like we should be born to simply die because we're different. And that to me is just a problem. And I hope I leave just with people that they're just like, you know, be a little bit more empathetic. You know, don't feel like it's not your problem and get involved. Damage, you got any last words for folks?
We got to take action. We need to figure out what that action is. You know, take a step back. Look at what's going on. We in a war right now. They started the war. So let's take action. Let's come together. Let's raise the value of black lives. And like you said, let's be more empathetic.
And Minnesota, stay on their motherfucking necks out there. I'm riding with you. I love what you're doing. We're going to keep sharing what you're doing. Please reach out to us. The number right here, 310-388-6463. If you're from Minnesota or you know or groups in Minnesota that are doing things and you want us to help amplify what they're doing, please reach out to us. And, man, keep coming back. But Damage, it was great seeing you. And it's great. Thank you all for tuning in. But we out of here. Peace.
Peace.
What up, YouTube? Thank you for watching this reckless show.
Yeah, and hit that subscribe button. And don't forget to hit the notification bell.
And also don't forget to share and leave a comment because we are reading.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.